Amen. You can be seated today. It is really good to be here.
Amen.
Who's excited to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, this is one of my favorite days of the week. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I'd love going to church to be around God's people.
Amen.
Because it brings encouragement. We have a common bond and we're in this together. God's got big plans for each of us as we seek Him. We are continuing our series and actually wrapping up our series today called Habits. And throughout this series, we have looked at some different spiritual habits that we need to have in our lives in order for us to continue to grow and become who it is God's called us to be. Now, why is this really important? Let me tell you why. It's because who we are at the end of this month, who we are at the end of this year, who we are at the end of our lives is largely dependent upon the commitments we make day to day, the priorities we place in our lives day to day, and the habits we develop consistently. The habits we have in our lives, whether you realize it or not, they help shape you into the person you are yet to become. And if we want to become more and more like Christ, if we want to grow spiritually, if we want to have that strength within us, then we must set aside some spiritual habits that will help us along the journey. Now, a couple weeks ago, I told you that actually our series was laid out according to the HABITS. And some of you had some aha moments and you were like, I never saw that. But the first week we learned to hang out with God. We learned the value of spending time with Him on a regular basis. Private worship. Just talking to Him. Prayer is one of the most neglected aspects of a Christian's life. We need to spend time in His Word. We need to spend time praying. We need to spend time praising Him for who He is. Hang out with God. Second week we learned about accountability and how valuable that is in the life of a believer, to have people who's going to speak truth into our lives, who's going to actually come to us and say, are you sure that that is a good choice in your life right now? For where you say you want to be later, is that really what you need to do now? You see, we need people who's going to hold us accountable. I've said it many times. If I start going off the deep end, I hope that there is and pray that there is enough people in this church who care about me that's going to come running after me and saying, that's crazy. You're crazy. Out of love, okay? Speak it in love, but come after me. Accountability. Next thing we learned was be missional. Be missional. God actually modeled this for us in a lot of different ways. Jesus was a missionary. He came from heaven to earth in order to seek and to save that which was lost. He modeled it in how He lived His life. He intentionally sought out people to spend His life with, to connect with. He spent time with what the world called sinners. And they were like, why don't you hang out with the religious folks? We're cool. And He said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. I'm going to spend time with those who need a Savior. We need to be missional. A phrase I've heard over and over again at different times is found people, find people. What's that mean? If you've been found through the loving grace of God, you've experienced that saving grace, you've been found in Him, then you also should have a desire to find people who need to experience that hope as well. We need to be missional. We need to be intentional about investing our lives in the lives of other people. Now, the I, involvement is necessary. We talked about the fact that God didn't really create any of us to be bench warmers. He's given each of us a mission in life, a place to serve. Both in the church, through the church, and in the community, we are to be God's hands and feet. There's no job too small. In fact, the story we talked about was when Jesus took off His robes and put on the outfit of a servant, wrapped a towel around His waist, and He started washing the disciples' feet. Grimy, messy feet. He got in the mess of their lives, and He served the disciples. He met them at their needs. What we need to do is we need to look for opportunities to serve. God has a place for each of us to impact the lives of others around us on purpose, for a purpose. We need to be involved. Last week, Matt spoke powerfully about the fact that we need to trust God. Now, this is hard. Because we are people who are driven by sight. We are people who are driven by touch. We are people who are driven by what we can reason out. And sometimes we can't reason everything out. We just have to trust God. That's where faith comes in. It's a habit that we have to learn to practice in our lives, where we don't lean on our own understanding, but we lean into God and we trust Him in all things. Today, we're going to wrap up our series, and we're going to look at, I think, is a really key habit to have. And it kind of connects back to our very first one, hang out with God. But I want to be a little more specific, and it's study God's Word. Study God's Word. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you today. Learning to study God's Word, it was a real struggle for me. If I'm being honest, I grew up in churches where I would hear all the time say, hey, you need to study God's Word. The pastor would say it. And then I'd go and I'd start reading in Leviticus. And I'd think, well, that makes no sense. I'm done. And I'd hear them over and over again, you need to spend time in the Word of God. And often I would hear it said, but no one would give a plan or a process of how to do that. I never really understood how to get into God's Word and let it get into me. You see, it's not just like reading another book. It is the Word of God. It is powerful. And it is also one of the most neglected habits of believers in our world today. I've seen videos of across the seas in China, Bibles being delivered to the church. And there is such passion for the Word of God that when a suitcase is open, you would think that it had $1 million in it. They're diving over each other to make sure they get a copy. And as soon as they get it, they open it and they start reading it. Why? Because there's value in the Word of God. My dad was a pastor for many years of his life, and he went on some mission trips, and he went to Russia one time. And he was passing out Bibles on the street in Moscow, just passing them out. And he said he didn't think about it as he was handing them out, but when he looked back down the sidewalk he had come through, everyone he had given a Bible to had literally stopped in their steps and started reading the Bible. I want to tell you, we have the Bible available to us in our lives that we can read anytime. Why do we neglect it so? We have it in different translations. Hey, we've got apps on our phone. We have access to God's Word. 500 years ago, you might could have said, well, it's not in my language. Today, you can't say that. 500 years ago, you said, well, if I read it, I'll get put in jail. Today, you can't say that, not in our country. We can study God's Word, and we can let it change us from the inside out. And, you know, as I continue to grow as a Christian, I told you that I didn't have a lot of people early on really teaching me how to study. I even went through Bible college. I learned Bible truths. I learned different things about the Bible, but I still didn't really learn a good habit of studying the Bible, even though I graduated with a degree in Bible. Okay? It wasn't until I got into a church that really emphasized the value of private worship, really emphasized the fact that you personally need to feed yourself, that I began to learn the habit of feeding myself and studying God's Word. Now, let me tell you what happens here on Sunday. This is like a mass feeding, okay? And we're going through God's Word together. But you need more than just the mass feedings. You need the individual feedings as well. We each need to spend time in God's Word on a regular basis, learning it, valuing it, studying it. But I understand the struggle. So that's why I wanted to tell you a little bit about me. And does that mean that every day I've got it together? No, there's some days where I get up and I hit the ground running because my schedule takes off. And then I think, wait a minute. I didn't start the day the way I was supposed to. And I have to go back and just fall at the feet of God again and say, just let me study your word. Now, what's that mean to us? That means we need to be intentional about studying God's word. We need to be intentional about making it a priority in our lives. Generally, when we pick up any book, we often start in our English language. We read from left to right. Other languages read from right to left. That's weird to me. But we usually start at the front and we read to the back of a book. The Bible, you can do that. Most people who start in Genesis and they start reading to the back of the book, they usually get lost somewhere around Leviticus. And then they think, what am I supposed to do with this? And they get lost. That's why Bible reading plans are a really good thing. It's a good tool. In fact, this is our Bible reading plan we're using as a church. And it helps us go through the Bible. In fact, we are a church that values private worship and personal Bible study. That's why we want to give you a tool to be able to do this. You say, well, it starts in January and it's already February 12th. Do I need to go back and catch up? No, start at February 12th, February 13th, February 14th, and just start where you are and start reading. And then guess what? January 1st is going to roll around next year, so you start January 1st. You're good. This is a chronological reading plan that we have, so it gives you the Bible in chronological order. There's other plans out there that you can jump in and you can read and you can use, but find a plan that works for you and do it. It is that important. Now, let me tell you a few things about the Bible. Some people try to classify it in different aspects of literature. Some say it's just a history book. It does have some historical aspects to it, but it's not just a history book. Some say it may be a book of poetry. It does have some poetic literature in it, but it's not just a book of poetry. In fact, if you were to look at it and encompass the whole thing as a whole, the best way to describe the Bible to us, it's God's word to us. It's God's love letter to us. In fact, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And even in Genesis, all the way through Revelation, we find the love of God in action demonstrated to us, showing us the need for a Savior and also then fulfilling in us a Savior that was promised. It's powerful. But then it also expresses what God desires for us to be and for us to become. Because he loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us where he found us. Now, if you think of love letters, if you've received a love letter, a lot of times you take that letter and you read over it. And then you read over it again. And you think, I wonder what she meant by that, or I wonder what he meant by that. And you kind of pick apart the love letter. Has anyone ever done that? Is that just me? You see, God's love letter to us, it should be something that we desire to read because it's God's words to us. It should be something that we get into and say, I wonder what he meant by that. I wonder how that can change my life. It's a powerful thing. You know, I've heard some people say, well, which part of the Bible do I believe? Or which parts of the Bible should I trust? And the answer is all of it. We can't pick and choose and say, well, this part I like and this part I don't like, so I'm going to take that one out. And this part I agree with and this part I don't agree with, and I'm going to take that part out. And you can't do that. If you take anything out or discredit any portion of God's word, you might as well take the whole thing and discredit all of it. Because it is God's word in its entirety. In fact, God used 40 different authors and a few scribes over the course of 1,500 years to put together his love letter to us. To put it together in the form of 66 different books using unique personalities of writers, but all empowered and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that over the course of 1,500 years, regardless of cultural differences, regardless of language differences, regardless of even differences of age to age, there is no contradiction in the truth of God's word. That's powerful. I mean, the key thoughts of God does not change over the course of time. And even in our lives today, it's still the same. So is this book important to us? Is it something we should do something with? My answer is absolutely. It should be something that we do more than just dust off every now and then. It should be something that we spend time in and study, because it has the power to impact our lives every single day. Here's a key thought I want you to get. Allow God's word to change your life from the inside out. One thing about God's word is when we read it, it has the power to change us. Change our thoughts, transform our minds, and help us become more like Christ. We can't do that if we're not studying God's word. I want to give you some verses of scripture, and we're going to end up in 2 Timothy 3. But before we get there, I just want to introduce some thoughts to you from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, it says this: "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them." What's being described here? God's word. Through his instructions, his decrees, his commandments, his commands, his laws, God's word is being described. And how is it described? It's described in this way. God's word is perfect, it's trustworthy, it's right, it's clear, it's true. That's God's word. Here at Refuge Church, we believe that God's word is an authority that we can hold to. We believe it's a foundational truth that he's given to us to live by. It benefits us in many ways. In fact, it says that in this passage here. It benefits us by reviving the soul. It benefits us by giving insight and wisdom for living. I mean, if you ever think, how am I supposed to live my life? Right here. Life's instruction book. Take it, read it, apply it. It gives insight for living and on how to do things and how to accomplish certain things. It brings joy to our hearts. And that's a powerful book that can do all of that. That can really impact us in that way. What we need to understand is, if it does all of this, if it can accomplish God's purpose in our hearts and in our lives, if it can literally change us from the inside out to help us become more and more like God, more and more like Christ, as we apply the principles of God's word to our lives, then the question we need to ask ourselves is, why don't we really read it? Why don't we really study it? You say, well, I just don't have time. How much time did you spend watching TV yesterday? I'm talking to myself too. I mean, how much time did you spend playing on your phone? How much time did you spend in recreation? It was a nice day yesterday, wasn't it? But what we prioritize in our lives, we make time for in our lives. So what I want to challenge us with today is we need to prioritize the study of God's word. And we need to prioritize it within our schedule. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So you say, this all sounds good, but why should I really have the habit of studying God's word? Why should I do this in my life? Well, let me give you three reasons through this passage of Scripture why we should. The first one is because God's Word is inspired. God's Word is inspired. It says here in verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. This isn't just like any other book that comes off the printing press. This isn't just like any other blog you can read online. And some people say, well, I don't study God's Word, but I read Christian books. I'm glad you're reading some Christian books. But how do you know if those Christian books are right if you're not measuring it against the truth of God's Word? Because there's some out there that are going to steer you in the wrong direction. And they're going to tell you what they perceive to be a truth in God's Word that is totally false because they've taken Scriptures out of context. What I want to challenge us to do is not maybe neglect Christian books, because there's some good ones out there. I've got some on my shelves. But not let that prioritize itself over reading and studying God's Word, because it is the only inspired book by God. And what does that mean? That means it is influenced and written through God's direct guidance. The Holy Spirit, when you think of the word inspired, it literally means breathed out, or the breath of God. When we speak our words, we have to breathe out to speak them. When God spoke His word, He breathed it out, inspired men, and it became the Word of God in written form that we have today. We can trust it because it's inspired by God. The fact that God inspired it actually opens it up to two other truths that must be noted, and I want to address briefly. Because God inspired it, it is also infallible. That means it's without error. That means it's perfect. In Psalm 19 that we just read, it was described as being perfect, trustworthy, right and clear and true. And you say, well, I found some errors in God's Word. Well, there's some scribal errors in there. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But in its original form, those manuscripts no longer exist. But in its original form, we believe that it was infallible, perfect, without any errors. But through generations, there's been some scribal errors. But let me tell you this. God has protected the truth of His Word that the scribal errors are often just found in numerical differences. It doesn't change teachings of anything. The Dead Sea Scrolls that were found and compared to the Bibles we have today, virtually identical. How is that possible? It's because God not only inspired it, but He has also protected it through generation after generation, so that we could have His Word in our lives today. When we hold this and we have it, it's not just another book. It is the book that is passed down from generation to generation. It is the Word of God. And we should view it as something that we value. We value. Another thing we need to understand is because it is inspired, it is authoritative. It should be an authority in our lives because it carries with it the authority of God as being the Word of God. Now, I've heard some pastors stand up and say, now here at our church, we don't believe everything that's in here, but we believe some of what's in here. If you go to that church, get up right then and leave. Because we can't discount any of it. It's God's Word. And God's Word carries with it authority of God to change lives. And if God's Word says it, guess what? We can't go against it. We have to follow it because it carries with it the authority of God. There shouldn't be any time that we look at it and we say, I'm just going to pick and choose the commands I want to follow because that's how I feel that I should live. Your feelings have nothing to do with God's Word. My feelings have nothing to do with God's Word. God's Word should change my feelings. Whether I really want to follow His commands or not is really irrelevant towards how I follow His commands. It's not always easy to do what's right, but it's something we should pursue with all of our hearts. So if God tells us to do it, we should follow it fully. So it's inspired. The second thing I see in this passage of Scripture, not only is it inspired, and that carries with it some of the different things we've talked about, but it's also profitable. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Profitable. That means that it is useful and beneficial for us in many ways. If you want something to be profitable, it's going to be useful and beneficial to you. It's going to be something that you can apply in your lives. That's why when we teach God's Word here and you leave here on Sundays or in small group or whatever environment we're in, we believe God's Word is applicable to our lives, so there's always application from it. There should be things we leave here to do something with, not just an awesome history lesson. So what I want to tell us today is God's Word is useful for a few different things. It's good for teaching. That's what I'm doing today. I'm teaching. So it's good for teaching. The truths that are contained in God's Word are timeless. Now, there's some people say, well, that book's too old to really relate to us today. Now, if you're in our small group environment, you know that currently we're studying through some truths about God's Word. And part of me thought, well, maybe I should skip this habit and just slide in another habit. And I thought, no, this is huge. So study it in small group, but you're also getting it here. You're kind of getting hit from both sides. You're welcome. But what we need to understand that His truths are timeless. That means they can be applied from generation to generation, regardless of changing circumstances around us, regardless of changing governments or cultures. God's Word transcends all of that, and it is powerful enough for us today to make a difference. God's Word is also rebuking. Now, I know everyone loves a good rebuke. You look forward to it. But what it means is when you study God's Word, it will address the wrong behavior or wrong beliefs that you have. There's times when I've studied God's Word and something's jumped off the page at me. It's like speared me in the heart. Why? That's called conviction. And God has really brought a scripture verse to light in my heart, and it's challenged me. And it's really made me want to just shut the book and say I'm done. But no, what's it doing? It's changing me from the inside out. And when that happens, I start to change my actions to match what God's Word says. Because of the rebuke of what I'm doing wrong, or maybe some wrong beliefs that I've had in my heart. And let me just speak to that a minute. Sometimes we get wrong beliefs because we trust what people say over what the Bible says. I was talking with someone yesterday, and I told them, I said, whether it's me or another pastor speaking, never trust what a pastor says over what the Bible says. Amen. Always go to God's Word. Amen. And check it for truth. Amen. Why? Because sometimes if we trust what someone says over what the Bible says, we will embed in our hearts a wrong belief that'll guide us in the wrong direction. God's Word's the ultimate authority, not a person, but God. So it also says it's good for teaching and rebuking, but it's also good for correcting. It brings us back in line with God's plans and purpose. So it may be that you're not totally doing things wrong, but you're just starting to veer off course. You're starting to head maybe a few degrees off the path. And God's way leads you this way, but you're kind of starting to head 1 or 2 degrees in the wrong direction. God's Word will correct us back to the right path. God's Word will guide us in the way we should go. Just the direction God wants us to do. The only way we can experience that is if we're reading God's Word. The only way we can experience the freedom that we can have in God is if we're really following the way God wants us to go. And we have that guidance in God's Word. But it also says that it's good for training in righteousness. So I'm thankful that God doesn't just rebuke me and leave me. But He rebukes me and corrects me, and then He trains me in how I should be living. Isn't that awesome? So He corrects a wrong thought, but then puts a right thought in there. and says, this is it. Training. You know who the best teacher in the world is? God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We experience that every single time we open God's Word. We give the Spirit an opportunity to teach us and to train us in righteousness and to learn to live for God the way He wants us to. So not only is it inspired and profitable, but also I see here in this passage that God's Word is sufficient. Sufficient. There's some people who want to add to God's Word. Don't do that. They want to raise the standard of God's Word. Don't do that. There's also some who want to lower it. We can't do that either. We have to live according to God's Word. It is sufficient for us in our lives. It goes on to say, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Love this. This is the power of God's Word in our lives. Now, in this passage of Scripture, it is referring to the man of God, which in Scripture often refers to a pastor, preacher, leader of the church, someone God is using to lead His people. But it doesn't just stop there as far as the sufficiency for equipping. Because then God uses the pastor, teacher, leader. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And then as the body of Christ, we also are equipped through what? God's Word. As a church, if we want to become the church God has called us to be, we have to be in God's Word. Not just the pastor, but each of us. We have to spend time in it. We have to work and become who God's called us to be. So it's sufficient. It's enough to guide us and direct us for all of our needs. You have needs? You have things you're working through in your life. You have trials, situations. Definitely pray. Go to God. But you know, one of the main tools God uses to speak to us, His Word. Now, He can use His people, but He also uses His Word. And a lot of times we want to talk to people and say, fix me. We want to talk to people and say, give me some good advice. And what God is saying is, I've already given you the advice. It's in my Word. Open it and read it. Spend some time there. Because it is powerful enough to change you. It's also sufficient for all of your needs. And then it'll equip you to accomplish the work He's called you to do. God's Word's equipping. I'm not the same person I was last year. I'm not the same person I was when I moved here 4 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. Why? It's because God's Word has a transforming power in my life, and it changes me. And there have been some wrong beliefs I have set aside. And there have been some things as far as wrong actions that I've said, you know, I don't need to do that anymore. I need to follow God. I've been corrected. I've been rebuked. But I've also been trained and equipped by the Word of God. And again, that's not just for pastors. That's for God's people, because we are His chosen people. He's given His Word to us. Psalm 119, 105, it says this, your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. God's Word lights our steps. So even if it's dark around us, we can at least see the light for the next step we're supposed to take. It's a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. It will give us guidance. That's what we need to understand. If we're feeling around in the dark and we're not sure what to do, we're not sure which way to go, can I give you some of the best advice you can ever get? Not because it comes from me, but because it's really built on the principles of God's Word. Go to God's Word. Spend time in it. And you may say, I read it, but I just don't get it. I read it and I leave there and I feel like I read Spanish and I don't know Spanish. Then it may be that you're reading it without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because the Spirit's the one who brings God's Word to life in us and actually allows it to become embedded in our heart. And how do you read God's Word with the Spirit? Well, one, you stay in tune with the Spirit. But also you have to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to know Him personally. When we enter into that relationship with Him and we believe who He is, we believe that He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. We believe that He rose again on the third day. And when we fully trust Him as our Savior of our sins, that He took our place, and we fully trust Him for the hope we have in eternity, then the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God comes and lives within us. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God dwelt with people temporarily. The New Testament power is the Spirit of God resides in believers. We have the power of the Spirit with us all the time when we fully trust in God for salvation. What I would tell you is, if you're reading God's Word and you've never trusted in Jesus, you don't have the power to fully understand it. And you need to start there. But if you're reading God's Word and you say, well, I trust in Jesus, but I still don't get it, it may be that you're really not leaning into Him to enlighten you. But also, I'd encourage you to study God's Word with people. That's one thing we talked about in our small groups. Get in a small group. And you will be amazed at how different people talking about the same passage of Scripture can really inspire and encourage you. So do that. Now, it may be that you're saying, well, all this sounds good. I understand that you think the Bible's good. I do. If you haven't got that yet, I do think the Bible is a powerful, powerful Word of God in our lives. It's not just a tool. It is the Word of God. Okay? What I want us to do is apply it to our lives. How do you do that? What are you supposed to do when you leave here? Well, here's what I want to tell you. When you leave here, I want to encourage you to intentionally, on purpose, deliberately set aside some time to study God's Word. And you may say, well, that's great. So you want me to start in Genesis? Or is it that Leviticus book you keep talking about? You can pick up the study guide that's out there in the foyer. And you can use this to guide you. You can also go to an app on your phone called YouVersion, and they have all kinds of Bible study plans. Find something that works for you. Find something that will get you in God's Word every day. But here's what I want to challenge you with. Set aside time and then read the Bible. Not a devotional book. The Bible. Read God's Word. God's Word is the Word that has the power to change us from the inside out. There are people who have written devotional books, and I'm not discrediting that. I have some. I've used some. But it shouldn't replace God's Word in our lives. Read the Bible. And once you read it, then begin to ask God, what is it that you want me to do with this? We have what we call a SOAP plan. Now, it's out there in the foyer as well. There's a SOAP books, and you say, so that tell me how to use SOAP or what? Let me tell you what it is. SOAP is a Bible study plan, okay? You start with Scripture. That's the S. You observe what the Scripture is saying. So what's it saying? And then you apply it to your life. Is there an action that needs changed? Is there a promise that needs claimed? Is there something I need to do as a result of this Scripture? And then you pray. And you talk to God and you commit to Him. That's out there in the foyer as well. Those are there for you. They're tools. Why? Because we value private worship. We value studying God's Word. Read it. Think it through. Pray about it. Even in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says this. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now Joshua was addressing a nation of people who had just gotten to where they were supposed to be. And he said, one of the best things you can do right now, study God's Word. Meditate on it day and night. Make it a part of your life cycle. Make it a part of your day. As we do this, let me tell you some benefits. You're going to grow in your faith. You're going to grow in your walk. You're going to grow in your understanding of who God is. You're going to grow period. When you get into His Word, your life will change. If you say, well, I'm good where I'm at, I really don't want to change, that's really not an attitude of a believer, because we also continually want to grow with Christ. We want to work on ourselves. We want Him to work through us. So here's what I want you to do. Pick up a study guide or get an app, YouVersion. Get a plan. Get a process and begin to use it. Make it a priority. Get into a small group for accountability. Get into a small group to discuss it. Maybe there's a verse you run across and you say, I just don't get it. Get into a small group and you sit in a circle and you say, I ran across this verse this past week. Can anyone help me with this? There's places. There's intentionality. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles throughout this room. Or come to me and I'll get you a Bible. Pick one out from under the seats. Take it home with you. But we want to make sure you have a Bible you can read. And if someone were to ask you, are you growing? Are you growing in your walk? Are you different than you were last year? These habits that I'm talking about, they're going to kickstart your growth. I want to encourage you. This sermon hasn't been meant to pound you over the head or really make you feel guilty. It's been meant to really emphasize the value of God's Word in our life. What a difference it can make. And the fact that it's different than any other book we could ever read. When we read it, it reads us. It challenges us. And it shapes us to become more and more like Christ. If you're not currently studying God's Word on a regular basis, here's what I want to challenge you to do. For the next 14 days, daily, set aside time to study God's Word. It may be one chapter. It may be five verses. But study God's Word every day. And then ask God to speak to you in a powerful way. A side note on that, I really don't want you to stop after 14 days. Because I just believe the value in it so much in the life of a believer. Make it a priority. Ask God to give you the desire to even study it. I've heard people say, my life's going so bad, I don't even have a desire to open this thing anymore. I don't even have a desire to get into it. That's the time you really need to force yourself to get into it. That's the time you really need the hope that it can give you and the help. That's the time you really need God to show up. So don't cut off one of His main ways to talk to you. Would you stand? We're going to close out today. Right now, where you are and the altar's up here, I want to encourage you just to talk to God and ask Him to help you become more like Him, maybe through these spiritual habits that we've talked about. Ask Him, if you don't currently have a desire to really read the Word, to really implant in you a desire in your heart to get into God's Word daily. And then begin to put it into practice. Ask Him to give you that. Start with a plan. Either grab ours or grab something, but start with a plan. Don't just start. Have a way to go through it. And do it on purpose, intentionally. As Bill sings, would you just do what God tells you to do?